item number 14 is the administrative update.
Good morning, Mike.
Hello, Madam Chair, members of the board. So here we are, the administrator's report. It's relatively brief because I believe we had most of the items covered in other areas. A big one we wanted to share is, and I believe there's actually an HR presentation to follow me, but one of the goals that really started with Chairman Lutzow a few years ago and was supported very strongly by County Executive Abley and continues to be supported by County Executive Crowley's office is the idea of doing our best to make sure that both staff who work with us have internal options for promotion. We want to be a great employer and also to make sure we're taking care of those folks who were displaced by the hospital closure. So I just wanted to share, because we don't do this very often, all of the opportunities that have come up in the last few months. I have listed a few positions just for your information. But really, in general, we have a very significant number of openings today. We're about to enter into a new period of recruitment. Part of the Kane Communications contract includes recruitment and retention efforts. So we are going to embark, and we've been doing recruitment things for the past year, radio spots, some social media pushes. But what we're going to try to do is another campaign similar to the nurse recruitment campaign from a couple of years ago that was so successful, because we're really in dire straits. We have 31 vacancies in our crisis service today. You know, that's, I want to say that's more than a 50% vacancy rate. And we have just vacancies all over the system, as do our partner agencies. And that's really the limiting factor in our ability to have the robust community-based system of care that we've promised, that we want to deliver, that we have funding to deliver. I mean, at this point, the only bottleneck is on staff. So I just included this. I listed a number of names. Dr. Drumulski becomes the director of clinical quality programs. Beth Lohman, who was our IPS supervisor. There was a number of fantastic candidates. She was the one we chose. She's taken on the role of being our comprehensive community services administrator. We decided that comprehensive community services had grown so big that it really deserved its own administrator to be totally dedicated to that program and manage that program. Carla Kimber has been promoted to a network development manager to help us with the, as we look forward to expanding our networks to include a broader range of providers representative of our community. She'll have a big role in helping us make that happen. And Jennifer Alfredson has moved from her CCS role into a grants manager role. The number and complexity of the grants that fund us have gotten pretty out of control for us. So having someone as detail-oriented and responsive as Jennifer assigned to that is going to be a big help to us. Getting the grants is actually kind of easy for us. You know, for Brian earlier, you know, sometimes we get the call and we're the only county that the state recognizes could actually have success because they recognize we have such a large network and we have so many folks to serve. So those grants come easy, but the management of them is extremely challenging when you talk about what can be monthly reporting and really daily accounting, because we have to make sure that when we buy services on behalf of our customers and utilizing state and federal dollars, that we follow all the rules, because there is a substantial risk when you take on those grants. Because if you make a mistake, you got to pay the money back. And that's just, we just don't want to get ourselves in those situations. So what's also then triggered is a number of these folks were internal promotions. So then there's now a series of openings for other staff and really anybody to apply and be part of our great team here at Behavioral Health Services. And so I did list some of those opportunities. Since I submitted this, there's probably several more. In fact, I'm sure there are. So I guess the point here is just we are doing so much to provide opportunity for our staff. We're doing everything we can to retain those staff. We recently got approval for some pretty significant raises for our crisis mobile staff and our including shift differentials for second and third shift. And so these are all efforts we're making because it's a very challenging employment environment. The workforce is changing. All our biggest asset is the incredible and nationally recognized best practice work that we do. And keep getting people mission aligned to really do what we do and be part of the Milwaukee community and our treatment community. We can't pay the best, and we don't have all the same flexibility and benefits of some of the other agencies, but what we do have is a tremendous leadership team, and we provide people the opportunity to really learn and grow and move up in this field. And you know, there are very many former Behavioral Health Division, both employees and contractors, in key leadership positions all over the place. And this was really magnified when I sent the past, present, future link to my colleagues at the Behavioral Health Policy Advisory Committee, which is basically 18 human services directors or behavioral health leaders from around the state. And something like 8 of them had previously worked in Milwaukee and had some sort of entanglement with the Behavioral Health Division, going back, you know, as many as 30 years. So we are the proving ground for great behavioral health staff, and we want to continue to be. We also continue to expand our internship opportunities. Dr. Keel and David and Quintana and others have really, really moved the needle on expanding opportunities for new staff, for people to get their master's degree, including opportunities for folks in paid capacities, and we continue to move in that direction. So just wanted to share everything we're doing and then some. We will have, I'm proofing a campaign tomorrow to move forward on the crisis staff campaign, and we will also have a presentation at our next meeting. Kathy?
Well, I have a question, because I hear what you're saying about retaining people and recruiting people, but there must be a whole lot of people who don't have a place to work come next October. And so my question is, what are we doing for people who don't know 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, where they'd be working?
So it's a fantastic question. A significant number of hospital and PCS staff have actually been reallocated to other internal positions here. So both we've had some nurses, some psychologists, we've had some of the medical staff. We had openings for prescribers for our community health center partnerships. One of our leaders in our maintenance and buildings division has been hired by facilities. A number of our maintenance staff have dates to transfer. Frankly, the challenge for me has been working it out so they can stay until we can release them safely. But there are also a number of current postings for both nurses, social workers, and other opportunities. We've been working with departments to try to make sure that those transitions go smoothly. The great majority of opportunities, though, are with the Mental Health Emergency Center and Granite Hills. I believe Lisa Ruiz will be presenting shortly on the number of staff that have been retained and engaged by those agencies.
My question, though, Mike, is where are you going to go? Where is Jody going to go? Where are the mobile crisis people going to go?
So it's a fantastic question. We have some temporary accommodations set up. We will be moving to the COGS building for the most part. Our AOT ACT team will be joining the housing division at their 6th and Walnut building. We felt that the ACT team, given the most significant challenge for people with a serious and persistent mental illness is housing. And since housing works so closely with people who are struggling with serious and persistent mental illness, we thought that was a great pairing. And the teams fit in the space. So what we expect is that we have a interim plan to put staff at COGS. A lot of staff will be working in a hybrid model, at least for a while, because until the state leaves the COGS building, which I don't believe we even have a firm date, but it's expected by the end of the year, we don't have enough space at COGS for everybody. But we do have a space for those administrative staff who need it today, as long as we allow for some of those staff who don't really have an in-office requirement. The staff that have been working successfully from home for 2.5 years, we basically have created a system at COGS, a plan where they might have a drop-in station to come 1 or 2 days a week when people need to print stuff or need to sign things or make those arrangements. We've also arranged for some communal space for people to have meetings in person because so much has been lost. Additionally, we do have staff located at currently at 3 community health center partners. The largest group is at 16th Street. We're awaiting the renovations at Outreach Community Health Center for some other staff to be located there. Those staff must be temporarily relocated to COGS. And then additionally, some of our staff will be at the 19th and North Milwaukee Mental Health Clinic that initially will serve youth in the Chaffee Plaza. But myself, Jody, the administrators, we will be going to COGS. Very likely there will be about a 2-year temporary office for us. And then my understanding is that the county, and we could have a report on this at another meeting, but the county board has directed the department to seriously explore building a new building essentially on the COGS property to replace COGS. That would be a Health and Human Services building. If that doesn't happen, it would be an enormous renovation of the current COGS building, and we would be the sole, DHHS would be the sole occupant, and then we would have, I think by staff, we're a little more than half of the department, so we would have a substantial presence in that new building. Unfortunately, all of the timing didn't line up exactly perfectly, as you know, but the goal is to get out of this building as quickly as possible, because then we achieve very significant savings on the facility side. We're going to do everything we can to get out of here by the end of September. There's probably going to be a bit of decommissioning, but there is a plan. Again, Matt Fortman took the lead on this, and God bless him. It's a challenge. It's a lot of moving parts, and we're working with consultants from DHHS to make sure that people have a place to land. So that's the answer. I realize that's not a complete answer, but there is an interim plan. It's less than ideal, but the staff are excited about it. All of my staff are looking forward to starting to have that opportunity to be back in person. At the open house, I got to see some folks in person I haven't seen in a very long time. And you really do lose something when you don't have that opportunity to be face-to-face and interact and have those opportunities to brainstorm and problem solve. And honestly, just sort of be together and support each other. Isolation isn't just a factor for the people we serve. It also impacts our staff who, you know, are really juggling a lot of professional and personal responsibilities and continue to do so. I think it's easy to say working at home is, you know, great and gives you some freedoms. I know from my perspective, it means I never stop working. And my home office is so close to my kitchen that I constantly am checking emails and following up. And I'm sure so many of our people are doing the same thing, which does wear on people. So we have a plan.
Good.
It will continue to emerge, and we will be happy to share it once. We've actually started to give people boxes and have told them to start packing up their office. So the staff are really in the loop. We're trying to be as transparent as we can. For those of you who haven't driven by the Behavioral Health Division buildings in a while, the former day hospital building is surrounded by a fence. They've already removed the roof covers from some of the buildings. They are actively demolishing that building and will move into our building as soon as we are vacated. It's out of it. So things are moving forward, and it's very bittersweet for all of us. But, we're excited about the future. We're doing our best to celebrate the history. And I think a lot of us and a lot of staff are really kind of struggling with that last moment. It's going to be the next 2 weeks are going to be pretty strange for all of us as we move forward to the closure.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Thank you, Mike. Others, Mary, I see your hand.
Mike, I had talked to you about, the whole issue with human resources with the pandemic, and that, you know, there were retirees that, you know, when did human resources stop giving plaques and the whole thing, and we got people retiring and, could there be certificates given to people? I know you're a busy man and you've got a million and one things to do. Were you ever able to get any feedback from them?
We did talk about it internally, and I believe the solution would be to have it be a sort of a joint Milwaukee County Mental Health Board plaque. We would try to start to track those retirements ourselves to make sure that we did it justice. I do get an electronic notice when someone submits for retirement. But what I learned and I didn't know before is that it isn't consistent. I don't always get it. So we've literally had people retire completely off my radar because I didn't get said notice. So we are trying to pull it together. Unfortunately, right now with the closure and all of the challenges, HR just doesn't have the bandwidth to do it today. And so we want to do it. I also believe we could probably start to celebrate these things as a group and sort of make it a monthly or whatnot opportunity. The other challenge we've had, Mary, and I shared this with you and I'll just share with the others. Some folks really like to sort of quietly slink off into the night and do not want the spotlight. So I still would love to do something for them or send them a certificate, but I know that a couple of folks were sort of put off when I called them out at a town hall and said, hey, so-and-so is retiring next week. Like, people have said, hey, I really didn't want to talk about that. Because from them, it's just a matter of that transition's hard. I mean, walking away and people work here a very long time. So I'm trying to balance sort of reflecting on and celebrating people's contribution to our service, but also sort of respecting their line. And I agree totally that some sort of, you know, we're not going to give everybody a gold watch, but some sort of acknowledgement of their service would be a really positive thing for us to do and would be something that the remaining staff and the next generation could see as like, look, you know, when you dedicate your life to public service, people are paying attention. And I think that's an important retention piece as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And thank you for the emails, too, because I think you've been sending out some history of BHS, and those have been really, really good to see and open and read. And this is really monumental. 2 weeks. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I just a shout out to the whole team at BHS, the leadership, the staff, everyone. It's been a huge team effort. And so many people have gone over and above and are doing something that really an other duty has assigned has now become 95% of their work to keep us afloat here. There's an additional pain communications update. I wanted to just give you all an attachment that describes sort of their efforts recently. Sometimes it gets lost. Included in that, in your packet, are all of the media coverage related to the closure, the redesign, all those things. This is no accident that we've gotten so much coverage. This is a very intentional effort that came, and this was added as an attachment. So this is attachment A that came out a little bit later. I just wanted you to be aware of just the enormous effort that has been done by Kane and others to make sure that the community is aware of our transition. And we've tried to get to every media outlet. We've really focused on some of the smaller media outlets, Milwaukee News Service, Urban Milwaukee, and others. And the call to action for all of you is please share this information with your networks. County Executive Crowley said this great last night at the listening session at Kosciuszko. You know, we need word of mouth. So if tell your friends, tell your people you know that there's the Mental Health Emergency Center is there. If you find yourself in a mental health emergency, there are community health centers that are available for walk-in services. You know, the crisis number is 257-7222. All of you could have a role with your great networks. You know, Barbara Beckard in Disability Rights Wisconsin amplifies all of our emails and shares them with their D-list. Many other partners could do the same. And it's really hard for us to get to every person that needs us because so often people in the community don't really recognize their needs until they need something. And they say, oh, wow, I'm in a mental health crisis. What do I do? We want to make it so that, that first thing they do is called the crisis line, or the first thing they do is go to the Mental Health Emergency Center. And the only way to achieve that would be to really saturate the world with that knowledge. I did want to call something out. So I see, and I'm totally going to put her on the spot because I see her in the peoples here. Our incoming sheriff, Danita Ball, is here. So I just wanted to shout out a welcome and give the Mental Health Board opportunity. The sheriff's office is a great partner. We've been building an amazing CART team. I just got to meet the deputies in person. What an amazing group. And we're so glad that you're here. And we look forward to our partnership.
Thank you. And likewise, I just wanted to pop in and listen to what I can and the good work that you're doing and just see how we can possibly strengthen our partnership. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Danita.
Thank you.
And with that concludes my report, unless there are questions for me on other matters.
Anyone for Mike? Good administrative update. Thank you so much.